Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, with the November 8th election right around the corner and early voting before that, we've got highlights of the gubernatorial debate this past Friday night, the U.S. Senate debate this past Thursday night. You'll meet the candidates in the 68th Assembly District race and learn about The Search Is On, American Red Cross Seeking Local Heroes. It's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. First of all, the highlights from the gubernatorial debate this past Friday night, where Governor Evers, the Democrat, and Republican businessman Tim Michaels squared off. First question we deal with, how would you help Wisconsinites deal with inflation? Governor Evers says he has a plan to deal with it.
Obviously, inflation is something that is a worldwide phenomenon, and the impact of that inflation is also, you know, spread across the entire world. That said, I do have a plan, and I've been really hoping that the Republicans would come in session and we could do something about it right now. But my plan is this: to mitigate against inflation, we're going to lower our taxes on our middle-class folks in the state of Wisconsin by 10%. We're going to get rid of the minimum markup law on gasoline, which could save people up to 30 cents on a gallon, and also some tax credit issues. But most importantly, the one that is most important is the one about child care, a child care credit. That way, we're giving people the money to keep the money, and we can mitigate against inflation.
Evers' challenger, Republican businessman Tim Michaels, answers the inflation question this way.
We've had weak leadership under the Barnes-Evers administration, but hope is on the way. I've been a bold leader my entire life. What are some of the problems? Joe Biden, weak on inflation, canceling the Keystone Pipeline. What can we do? We can put more money in people's pockets. I'm a businessman. I understand macroeconomics. I understand how to read a balance sheet. I'm going to do everything I can to put more money in people's pockets to help them with the price at the pump and the surging price of groceries. We're going to do massive tax reform, get more money in people's pockets here in Wisconsin, and the hardworking, taxpaying people of Wisconsin will spend more of that money on goods and services, helping make our economy here even more robust.
In Friday night's gubernatorial debate, both candidates were asked how they would curb the presence of illegal firearms in the state, with Governor Evers answering first.
Well, there's several things we have to do, but I'm going to go back to shared revenue, because in order for those great people that work in the city of Milwaukee to do their work, they need the support financially from the state, whether it's issues about training or any other things that are going on in the city of Wisconsin, the city of Madison. That said, shared revenue will be increased by this administration. In addition, I am somebody that actually believes that we have some really thoughtful things that we can do around guns, and universal background checks are one, red flag laws are another. Time and time again, when the Marquette University poll talked about this and asked the questions, 70-80% of the people of Wisconsin said these are reasonable things we can do to provide safety in that arena. So let's do that. Let's bring people together. Let's have this discussion, and let's make some changes in Wisconsin.
Here's what Republican Tim Michaels says he'd do about illegal firearms in the state.
All across the state, crime is running rampant. And guns, I have a solution for that. But let's talk about crime in Milwaukee. I've spent a lot of time in the inner city in Milwaukee. People tell me, like, Tim, why are you spending time in the near north side or the south side of Milwaukee? And I say, because I'm going to be a governor for all. Milwaukee is not the problem. Milwaukee has a problem, and I'm going to fix it. We're going to get crime down, and we're going to get education scores up, to provide opportunity for the young men and women that have no option but to be on the streets. Guns are everywhere. I'll tell you, I was up in Wausau this week and I spoke with officials at the Marathon County Sheriff's Department. They told me that 75% of recent homicides were stabbings. Those weren't gun violence. It was knife violence. The left always just wants to take away guns and thinks that's the problem. I'm a responsible gun owner. I will protect your Second Amendment rights.
The gubernatorial candidates were asked Friday night what their plan is to rebuild confidence in Wisconsin's election process. Governor Evers.
The last election was safe, secure, and there was not fraud. I mean, honest to gosh, there's one reason that people are concerned about is we have people like my opponent that continue to talk about massive fraud without having any idea or any specifics. It was safe, fair, and we can have confidence in our election. You know, when someone talks about issues like this, around they don't know if they're going to certify the present election. Certification is something the governor does. They do it in a very specific way. When my opponent says, well, I'm not sure if the legislature sends me something that says that Biden lost and Trump won, I don't know if I'm going to sign that. Well, you have to. That's part of the process. Voting rights are on this ballot. It is radical to say, I'm not sure how this worked out or that fraud happened when it didn't happen.
Time is up, Governor.
Here's Republican Tim Michels' answer to the election question.
To clarify, you need to go a little bit further than your question. There is a nonpartisan legislative commission that did find that illegal voting did happen in the last election. They also found out that clerks were given illegal guidance by the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Look, I'm a candidate today. I wish all these election integrity issues were fixed in previous administrations, but they weren't. I will make sure that once I'm governor, we never have these questions again about election integrity. I will work with the legislature. We will get these bills right, the bills that Governor Evers vetoed, and we will make sure that people don't have any more questions about things like out-of-state billionaires coming in and taking over our election process, the Zuckerbucks. I'll make sure that the ballot harvesting stops. I'll make sure that we stop the indefinitely confined status. Under a Governor Michels administration, we will never have questions, and of course, therefore, I will certify any elections after I'm elected governor.
And finally, from Friday night's gubernatorial debate on the question of abortion in Wisconsin, the criminalization of abortion pills, and the leaving the state to get an abortion in a state where it's legal, Michels answered.
Governor Evers and the left have spent tens of millions of dollars mischaracterizing my position, calling me a radical. I am pro-life, and I make no apologies for that. But I'll tell you who the real radical is. The real radical is Governor Evers, where he is for allowing abortion as late as at the time of birth. Even vetoed the Born Alive bill, which would allow a doctor to murder a baby after birth. That is extreme. That is radical. Now, I'm a common sense guy, and I've listened to the people, and I will always listen to the people. And I've said that if a bill is put before me from the legislature, which is a direct representation of the people, and it has an exception in it for rape and incest, that I would sign that bill. You know, this stuff about are you going to prohibit pills to come through the mail? If it's against the law, then that's against the law. And I am not against contraception. You know, like I said, I'm a reasonable guy, and people say, Tim, you have a lot of common sense. So, you know, that's something that we'll have to sit down and work out. But, you know, I'm not going to be this radical guy with checks at the border.
Meanwhile, in Friday night's gubernatorial debate, here's how Governor Evers answered the abortion question.
Well, the bottom line here is this. Women should have the ability and the right to make decisions about their health care, including reproductive health care. And that includes abortion. My opponent is radical on this issue, and frankly, he's radical because it's not consistent with Wisconsin values. We've had 50 years of Roe v. Wade, and it's worked here in the state of Wisconsin. We should go back there. But to think that we are in a position in this state of Wisconsin where we have a governor saying, we're going to criminalize abortion, we're going to throw doctors in jail, and we're not going to have any exceptions for rape or incest. Those positions taken by my opponent here are radical. They're not consistent with Wisconsin values.
Meanwhile, in Thursday night's U.S. Senate debate, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes said that Ron Johnson wasn't afraid of January 6th rioters because they were the people that he riled up.
He called them tourists, the people who were beating up police officers in the United States Capitol, the people that were there to protect him. He said he wasn't afraid. He said if they were Black Lives Matter or Antifa, he may have been afraid. But because they were the people who he riled up, of course he wasn't afraid.
Meanwhile, Senator Johnson says there's a lot of mystery surrounding Lieutenant Governor Barnes's college diploma.
But we do know he got a degree in communications, specializing in performance. So he's a performer. He's an actor. And I don't know whether he's just delivering lines somebody wrote for him or whether he's making this stuff up on his own. But falsehoods just seem to roll up his tongue. So I suggest anybody watching this debate or the campaign take anything Mr. Barnes says with a huge grain of salt.
Also on Thursday night's U.S. Senate debate, Democrat Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes claimed that Senator Ron Johnson hasn't accomplished anything in his almost 12 years in the upper chamber in D.C.
There's no commercials talking about Senator Johnson's record because he has nothing to run on. He hasn't done a single thing for us. He's had 12 years to show up for work in Wisconsinites. He has refused to every single day.
Meanwhile, on the subject of abortion in Thursday night's debate, Senator Johnson said about his opponent,
"The extreme position when it comes to abortion is the one that the lieutenant governor holds, which would allow abortions up to the moment of birth. Think of that. That is not where Wisconsinites are."
In Thursday night's U.S. Senate debate, Lieutenant Governor Barnes made these bold claims regarding his opponent.
"The senator should be so audacious. He fails to mention that taxpayers had to foot the bill for his private plane trips between D.C. and his $3 million mansion in Florida, the vacation home. The 2017 tax plan also gave tax benefits for people who make private plane purchases. Guess who bought a few private planes right after the 2017 tax bill was signed? Senator Johnson's family."
Johnson went after Barnes on crime and law enforcement.
"One thing you have to do is you have to keep violent criminals in jail, and you have to support law enforcement. Now, unfortunately, we have an administration in Wisconsin right now that their goal was to reduce the prison population by 50%. They reduced it 15%, including paroling 884 criminals. 784 were violent, including 44 child rapists, 270 criminals who either committed or at least attempted murder. So keep violent criminals in jail. You know, one of the things you use is cash bail, and there's an effort here to eliminate cash bail. But also we have to support law enforcement. You don't go on Russian Today TV and denounce law enforcement."
And finally, at the end of Thursday night's U.S. Senate debate, both candidates, Lieutenant Governor Mandela, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes and Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson were asked by moderator Charles Benson.
"We are down to one final question here, and both of you have said a lot tonight about each other. Now, when we traveled around the state talking with voters, we heard repeatedly from people tired of divisive politics and attack ads. So our final question here tonight is, both of you have been successful in life. You have 30 seconds here. Mr. Barnes, you go first. What do you find admirable about your opponent?"
"Well, no, seriously, I do think, you know, the senator has proven to be a family man, and I think that's admirable. You know, that's absolutely to be respected. He speaks about his family. He's done a lot to provide for them. I absolutely respect that."
Mr. Johnson.
"I mean, likewise, I appreciate the fact that Lieutenant Governor Barnes had loving parents, a school teacher, father at work third shift, so he had, you know, good upbringing. I guess what puzzles me about that is, with that upbringing, why is he turned against America? I mean, why does he find the founding of America awful?"
We said something admirable.
And that's how the Republican U.S. Senate debate wound down on Thursday night. Meanwhile, putting the spotlight on the 68th Assembly District, where Democrat Nate Otto, an Eau Claire County Board supervisor, is squaring off with Republican businesswoman and Fall Creek Village board member Karen Hurd. Wisconsin I asked Otto why he's running for the seat.
"Running for this office because we are at a critical time in our state. I am not a politician by career. My political career goes all the way back to November 2021 when I was asked to apply for a county board vacancy. And then I learned what county board really entailed. And we've been doing a lot of great things. So I ran for election in April and won by a landslide of 10 votes and decided to keep going with it. There are a lot of issues at stake, which we will talk about on this interview."
Wisconsin I also asked Republican Karen Hurd why she's running for the 68th District Assembly seat.
"I'm running for office because I want to return to this country what this country has done for me. I'm a small business owner, and over the course of the last 30 years, I have grown my business to the place that it can almost operate on its own. I have good staff, and so instead of working 60 to 80 hours a week in my business, I'm able to pare that down to 10 hours and still make the same amount of money. And so that's a very good place to be. And so I have the time. My children are grown. I have 5 children. They're all grown. And I have the time, and I want to give back."
Wisconsin I asked Nate Otto what he'd like to do with Wisconsin's more than $5 billion surplus if elected.
"There are two schools of thought on this. One is we should give it back to the taxpayers. The other is we should invest it back into the people, or we should invest it into the people of Wisconsin, into our infrastructure. I think the good, hardworking people of this state need a tax break, and in these times of inflation, we deserve a tax break when and where responsible. As for what happens if we just give it back to the taxpayers, if we were to give it all back to the taxpayers, a lot of that money, we must understand, would not stay in Wisconsin. It's the nature of how markets work. A lot of that money would go toward funding Fortune 500 companies in Minneapolis and Chicago, because people who get the money back, they do what people rationally do and invest it in places well outside of the state in this global market. I think there's a better answer to that. I think we give some of it back to the taxpayers. We spend a lot of it on debt relief, and we invest the money back into ourselves. And this means building infrastructure, funding schooling, funding our workforce and our police, and we make Wisconsin a more attractive place to receive other states' money when they make big tax cuts.
Meanwhile, Republican Karen Hurd was also asked by Wisconsin Eye what she would like to do if elected with the state's more than $5 billion surplus.
Right now, Wisconsin families and small businesses, I'm a small business owner, so I understand this well, and I have a family of five children, although grown, but they have children. Our families and our small businesses, they're hurting. So when we get the budget projections back, because obviously we need to have that in the new session, we'll have the updated budget projections. I think the first thing that we need to look at is focusing on getting some of that money back to the people of Wisconsin. After that, I think it will be important to not go in the direction of increasing the bureaucracy, our government bureaucracy, by creating more offices and those type of jobs. And I also want to be careful that we don't do any reckless spending.
And finally, on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, not all heroes wear capes. Do you know an ordinary person with extraordinary courage? Someone who saved a life, helped a neighbor in need, or made a difference in their community? Every day at the American Red Cross, they see firsthand the remarkable deeds of everyday heroes. Their stories inspire and remind us to never doubt the impact an individual can make in the lives of others. Each year, they honor individuals who've shown courage, dedication, and unselfish character by their acts of heroism in Northwest Wisconsin. If you know a local hero, the local Red Cross asks you to nominate them to be recognized at the upcoming Northwest Wisconsin Heroes Breakfast on March 9th of next year. Mary Jane Thompson serves as the executive director of the American Red Cross of Northwest Wisconsin.
The Northwest Heroes Breakfast honors people making an impact through their bravery, dedication, and humanitarian services. For over 18 years, more than 150 local heroes have been recognized, and we are thrilled to add to that number.
Thompson says,
we are asking for the public's help to identify individuals and groups that are deserving of recognition for their positive impact.
She adds,
your hero could be a colleague, family member, neighbor, or friend who performed a selfless act of bravery or improved our community.
Thompson says,
honorees will be celebrated across seven categories: adult Good Samaritan, youth Good Samaritan, age 18 or younger, community hero, from the heart hero, lifetime hero, military hero, and healthcare hero.
For complete category descriptions, Thompson says you can go to
redcross.org/Wisconsin, and you can visit our landing page for the Northwest Wisconsin Heroes Breakfast.
Thompson says nominees may come from any of the Red Cross Northwest Wisconsin chapter's 17 counties.
These counties include Ashland, Barron, Bayfield, Burnett, Chippewa, Clark, Dunn, Eau Claire, Jackson, Pierce, Pepin, Polk, Price, Rusk, Sawyer, St. Croix, Taylor, and Washburn counties.
Nominating a hero is free and can be done quickly and easily online. All nominations are due by December 31st of this year. Heroes are nominated by the public and are chosen by an award selection committee comprised of local community leaders. Honorees are selected based on the degree to which their actions uphold the values of the Red Cross humanitarian mission and leave a lasting and positive impact on the community. That does it for this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week. Recapping, we had highlights from both the Friday night gubernatorial debate between Republican businessman Tim Michaels and Democratic incumbent Governor Tony Evers. From Thursday night's U.S. Senate debate, the second and final one between Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes challenging Republican incumbent Senator Ron Johnson. We also shine the spotlight on the candidates in the 68th Assembly District, being Democrat Nate Otto, an Eau Claire County Board Supervisor, and Republican businesswoman and Fall Creek Village Board of Trustee member Karen Hurd. And also let you know about the search is on for the American Red Cross seeking local heroes. Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. Catch the podcast at WWIB.com. I'm Mark Halverson.